and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people. Someone once told me that sin appears less sinful than it did in the days of my grandparents. Sin seems less sinful today. Why is this? Beloved, are we getting to the place that because we see it all the time that we are beginning to think that some sin is normal? We think it's okay because a lot of folks are doing it? So sin appears less sinful because we are getting used to it.
Welcome to Highway for the Remnant for April 2013. I look forward to my time with each of you every month. Let me encourage you to go regularly to our website. That's www.highwayfortheremnant.com. There you will receive updates on current events affecting the religious world and our own ministry. Also, you can remain informed in regard to my speaking appointments as you click the schedule page. The appointment just may be close enough that you can attend, and I would love to see you there. Lily and I pray every day that God will keep you faithful, and that the reaping of precious souls will be the ultimate conclusion to your spiritual endeavors for Him. After all, is there any other reason for our existence? We're told in Volume 9 of the Testimonies in page 19 the following. In a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light-bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, the second, and the third angels' messages. There is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. End quote. So there, beloved, is our challenge from the spirit of prophecy. In this age of alternate lifestyle, in this age of adoration of screen stars and sports figures, a time of twisted moral values and the wrongness of rightness, among other things, we as a people will stand out as very peculiar. The normalcy of the age has been altered seriously from that which the Word of God considers normal. How blessed and challenged we are to stand for something that no longer exists in the minds of those who are led by the enemy of souls. And I'm speaking not only of the average citizen, but also of our country's leaders, as well as many of our church leaders who have succumbed to the allurements of this worldly state of affairs. I trust that you will be blessed and that you will be challenged as we go live now to this month's message, The Herd Instinct. Let's begin today with the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 9.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. O Lord, lead us in our study today. We ask that you would cleanse our hearts and our minds and make us vessels worthy of the reception of thy Spirit's leading. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, amen. Lily and I have been involved in ministry now for
40 years.
And through those years, we've had to move so many times. Every few years, we would have to uproot our little family from one place to another, wherever the Lord would call. We had just formed new friendships where we were. And now we have to move and form a new home and new friends. But the Lord has always blessed wherever we have gone. And whenever we make these changes, we always want things to get back to normal. Many of you know of what I'm speaking because you too have gotten out of the routine of your life and you wish that things would get back to normal. Well, I have asked myself the question, what is normal? Society today is practicing many things which they call normal. You see a rebellious child sassing his parents. And they say, well, that's normal. That child is simply expressing himself. You see a man and woman living together out of marriage. And they say to you, well, today, that's normal. I'm sure we could add many other instances to this list. Normalcy is not determined, beloved, by the lofty standard of God's Word today. Normal today seems to mean what the majority is saying or what society is doing. Normalcy has the connotation of that which is customary or traditional. In other words, what everybody is doing. Society today is afflicted with what I call the herd instinct. We have this tendency to follow the crowd, to lose our individuality and to do what others do simply because others are doing it. Some will do anything as long as the crowd is doing it. The lack of independent thought indicates a basic insecurity which we find in man. We have a fear of people and we forget what our Lord said. Let's take our Bibles and come to Matthew chapter 7. There's some very important text here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Now you will notice in this text, you'll notice the word straight. This word straight is not spelled with a G-H. It's spelled S-T-R-A-I-T. You meet someone who is a person with good character, and you would call that person straight-laced. How many have ever heard or used that term? S-T-R-A-I-T. Straight. It means austere or strict or narrow or tight-fitting. In other words, the way to eternal life is narrow. It leaves no room for excess baggage or superfluous teachings or compromise. The way is straight. And our Lord says, few there be that find it. Straight is the gate that leads to life. Beloved, we have fads that come and go in our country. You'll remember, for example, the miniskirt craze. Some wealthy designer decided to design this skirt, and the crowds just followed along because crowds can be led and manipulated while lining the pockets of these worldly-minded people. And their perversions are reflected in the garments which they design. You see, these people know that crowds can be led by the nose. They know that crowds can be manipulated if they can create an atmosphere that whatever it is they wish to promote can be considered normal. And if it is considered normal because everybody else is doing it, then they begin to embrace it for themselves. You know how it goes. Barney is promoted and everybody has to have it. Power Rangers are promoted. Everybody has to have it. The young people wear their pants down below their waist, hanging like bags on their body, and everybody has to have it. These things become normal. Wall Street, Fifth Avenue, Madison Avenue, they all know that crowds can be led. My father-in-law worked on a dairy farm. As a matter of fact, he had cows of his own from time to time, and he was very familiar with dairy cattle. He would talk about how often he would have to arise at 3 o'clock in the morning and go out into the darkness to prepare for the day for the milking chores. The milking process begins in the wee hours of the morning. I heard of the gentleman who came from the city who went to stay with his dairy farmer uncle overnight, and he wanted to go with him to the milking in the morning. And he was awakened at the unearthly hour of 3 o'clock in the morning. As they headed out to the pasture, he could hear the cattle up ahead, and he could see the silhouettes of their outlines in the moonlight upon the hilltop. But the uncle farmer led him the opposite direction, down the hill on the other side, and the young man said, Well, where are you going? He said, Follow me. But the cows are up here. Oh, I know, but you follow me. Well, where are you going, uncle? I'm going to find Nancy. You're going to find who? I thought we were going to find cows. And his uncle said, Nancy is the chairman or the president of the herd. And if we can get Nancy, our big Jersey cow, on the way to the barn, all the rest of them will just follow her. This, you see, is the herd instinct, the follow the leader mentality. And Satan specializes in handling crowds. He knows how to stampede a crowd. He knows how to tantalize and to move crowds to follow his influences. Satan's favorite text is, well, everybody else is doing it. And in this lawless age, Satan must be completely fascinated with his own successes in handling crowds and getting popular support for the most foolish devices he can dream of. He has used the herd instinct or the following the crowd mentality very successful in areas of modern immodest attire, in areas of bringing porn into our homes, and even in using the crowd mentality in following a false day of worship now for many hundreds of years. The old devil is successful in presenting outrageous fashions and outrageous activities, outrageous dancing, outrageous gestures, and the devil controls the crowd. Why, he has been extremely successful in leading the crowd down the wide road to destruction by advocating an outrageous day of worship which was instituted in honor of the sun god. Oh, how happy Satan must be. He is the master, you see, of iniquity. In Matthew 24, it says in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now I want us to look for a moment at this word iniquity. The word iniquity is misunderstood by most people. Iniquity is refusing to do right when you know what is right. In other words, iniquity is deliberate sin. Iniquity is saying, I am going to do it because I want to do it. And beloved, we are living in a time of abounding iniquity. It's difficult to get away from it. It is brought right into your living room. Everywhere you look, there it is. There was a time when you'd have to go down some back alley in order to get a certain kind of literature. But today, it is brought right into your living room. It is in the drugstore. It is in the supermarket. And yes, even in toy stores. And Christ says, iniquity abounds. Someone once told me that sin appears less sinful than it did in the days of my grandparents. Sin seems less sinful today. Why is this? Beloved, are we getting to the place that because we see it all the time that we are beginning to think that some sin is normal? We think it's okay because a lot of folks are doing it. So sin appears less sinful because we are getting used to it. I took a load of trash to the dump one day, and I backed my big van up to the big compactor bin, and the smell of that place was quite revolting. I attempted to hold my breath while hurriedly trying to get the bags out of my van and deposit it. When I returned to get back in my van this particular day, I noticed The attendant was sitting right on the side of the compactor eating his lunch. As I passed, I asked, "How can you eat your lunch in this stench?" He said, "Well, it doesn't bother me. I'm used to it." Oh, beloved, let us not get used to it. Let's not get to the place where we can be comfortable in stench. I am so glad, beloved, that God has called upon us to be peculiar, to be a peculiar people. Titus 2:14 says that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. But this doesn't mean that these people will be some kind of oddballs. They are peculiar because they are not what the world today would call normal. That word peculiar means distinctive or distinguishable. Let's not fall into this trap, beloved, of following the crowd. The crowd today consists of unstable individuals who do not think for themselves. They have lost their individuality and they are scared to buck the crowd. And so they console themselves in their surrender by saying, "Well, after all, it's normal." The truth of the matter is that if everybody started walking around with a ring in their nose, it would be considered normal simply because everybody's doing it. But I can assure you of one thing, beloved. I am not going to walk around with a ring in my nose. Beloved, there are so many things today that are considered normal. Doubting the counsels from the spirit of prophecy, it seems, is considered normal. Desecrating our churches with rock gospel is considered normal. Having competitive sports in our schools is considered normal. Suing our fellow Christians or making fun of faithful Christians is considered normal. As we look back at the trial of Jesus, the Bible tells us that Pilate feared the people. And because he was willing to content the people, he released Barabbas. You can read about it there in Mark the 15th chapter. Pilate was scared of the crowd. You see, Pilate wanted to be normal. That heart-wrenching scene there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took the cup. He drank it. It caused him to shrink back in horror. "Oh, my Father," he says, "if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." The Desire of Ages words it so beautifully. The Son of God was seized with superhuman agony and fainted and exhausted. He staggered back to the place of his former struggle. His suffering was even greater than before. As the agony of soul came upon him, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. The cypress and the palm trees were the silent witnesses of his anguish, and from their leafy branches dropped heavy dew upon his stricken form, as if nature wept over its author, wrestling alone with the powers of darkness. Christ was driven into momentary despair. He had to recoil because this despair was unequaled in any other part of his life, except from when from the cross he cried out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Ah, beloved, Christ drank the dregs of betrayal. He drank the dregs of denial and rejection by the people that he loved. Are you listening? By the crowd that he came to help and to save. The crowd always seems to play into the devil's hands. Oh, there were many individuals involved in the conspiracy and in the torture and ultimately the murder of our Lord. There were men such as Judas and Pilate and Herod and Caiaphas. But I want you to forget those individuals for a moment this morning. I want you to focus for a moment on that crowd. I want you to consider that crowd, the crowd that had abdicated their responsibility, and how they cast off all restraint and common sense and turned like a mad dog against their very best friend. And I want you to consider that crowd because, beloved, you and I were there in that crowd. And as usual, the crowd was easily manipulated. As usual, they were influenced and worked up into a frenzy. They allowed themselves to be stampeded. They were used by a few specialists with ulterior motives. Oh, beloved, this really came home to me once many years ago when I made the mistake of attending a professional hockey game in Portland, Oregon. I remember the blood that was flying on the ice and slamming one another against the walls and drawing blood. But when I turned and looked at the crowd, it was bad enough what was going on the ice, but when I turned and looked at the crowd and they were crying for blood, they were bloodthirsty, crying out for more blood. And when I saw that, I thought, Lord, get me out of this place. Get me out of this place. I felt I was in the arenas of Rome. Oh, he got me out of that place. Oh, yes. And I promised him I would never return. That was my very first and my very last professional hockey game. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says that the crowd cried out for the blood of their best friend. You see, Jesus had a profound love for the crowd. And the Bible says that he looked upon the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. And while listening to their complaints, he just looked at them and his heart was moved and his face was bathed with tears. Christ was the friend of the crowd. Christ cared for the people. He was always sticking his neck out for the people. And now the crowd cries for his blood. Ah, Jesus had looked down the stream of time and had seen the future clearly. He saw the reckless course the crowd was taking. And in Matthew 23:37, Christ was looking ahead. He was thinking of the crowd when he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you like a hen gathers her chickens, but you would not let me." The very ones that cried out, "Hosanna," at his entrance to Jerusalem were the same ones that cried out, "Crucify him," at his trial. And even if the Galileans did not cry out, "Crucify him," not one of them raised their voice in his defense. Ah, beloved, sometimes the greatest crime is to do nothing when a defenseless people is being oppressed. Sometimes the greatest crime is doing nothing in a time of great spiritual crisis. Someone told me once, he said, "Don't you know that silence is golden?" Oh, I said, "Oh, yes, but sometimes it's just plain yellow." There are times, beloved, when we need to step out from the crowd. All classes were in that crowd, just a crowd like we see today. The crowds will defend the rock stars. The crowds will defend the Hollywood degenerates or the sports heroes, but crowds will not usually stand for right because they know not the one who encompasses all that is right, Jesus Christ. Ah, the crowd chose Barabbas rather than the pearl of great price. In talking to someone recently about the sins in their lives, they said to me, "I don't know why you're so concerned, Pastor Dan. Everybody is doing it." Oh, beloved, Lord, help us. The crowd wants pleasing, fast lane answers. The crowd wants a quick fix solutions rather than truth. And in this new age thing called alternate lifestyle, people and the highest leadership of our cities and yes, even our nation are accepting and endorsing licentiousness, fornication, homosexuality, adultery. The Sodom mentality may be normal to some people today because that is the herd instinct, you see. The crowd does not like the Ten Commandments. They want to do as they please. You see, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in fact, come with me to Romans, the 12th chapter, and we'll look at verse 2. Beloved, if there ever was a time when you and I have come to the place where we need to stand up and be different from the crowd, I think we have long since arrived. Let's look now at Romans 12, 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." I like Phillips' translation, which reads like this. Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Beloved, we must remember that truth is not the truth because you believe it or you don't believe it. Truth is truth whether you believe it or not. But if we don't believe it, then there are consequences to be suffered, you see. The people who crucified our Lord used the excuse, "He is not normal." And that charge was brought by the religious leaders themselves. To crucify him seemed like the normal thing to do. You see, the priests were the ones who started the drumbeat that whipped that crowd into a frenzy. And it was thought that if the religious leaders want to crucify him, then that's what we all should do. After all, you know, they are the religious leaders, so they must be right. Beloved, it is going to happen again. The voice of the crowd told Pilate, "This is what the crowd wants. This must be the normal thing to do." Ah, beloved, things at times may seem to be normal. But is it right? Beloved, nothing is right unless God puts His stamp upon it. You see, the crowd wanted to destroy this man and his strange teachings that was making such an impact upon individual lives. What this man is teaching is not normal. What he is teaching is not what the crowd believes anyway. And then as they drove those spikes through that tender flesh, he looked up in vision to his Father and he cried out, "Forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And today, as we look out at the crowds, we too should have compassion. We too should have pity. And we should say, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, beloved, the crowd will never be saved. The crowd drowned in Noah's day. The crowd burned up at wicked Sodom. Beloved, choose you this day whom you will serve. You see, when Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife, he was not considered normal. Oh, some people may do a slow crawl from sin, hoping it will catch them. But Paul was not normal. Joseph was not normal. Daniel was not normal. God's people are not normal. At the trial of Jesus, what the crowd did not recognize in the miracles he performed was that there would be power in that blood that was about to be shed. Would you be free from that burden of sin? There's power in the blood. And beloved, there's enough power in that blood to help you to stand distinctive from the crowd. Jesus says, "I am the way." And beloved, if we're going to make it to eternity with Jesus, we are going to have to quit following the crowd. We are going to have to follow Jesus. You see, the crowd will never be saved. We must be independent of the crowd. We should not be conformed to the world or to dead, heartless professors. The Word says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Ah, beloved, this is the self-denying way. And when you think the way is too straight and that there is too much self-denial in this narrow path, just ask yourself the question, "What did Christ give up for me?" This, beloved, puts anything we may call self-denial in the shade. Behold him there in the garden, sweating great drops of blood. Follow him to judgment hall, where he is mocked and insulted by that infuriated mob. See them place that crown of thorns upon that noble brow, and the blood flow from that holy temple. Hear that murderous crowd crying out for his blood. And then as he is stretched out upon that wooden cross and the nails driven through his tender hands and feet, those feet that walked those dusty roads of Palestine on errands of mercy, those hands that would be placed tenderly upon the brow of a feverish child to bring life. Oh, yes, beloved, think of these things and then ask, and then ask, is the way too straight? Oh, no. No, never.
Vital End Time Ministry of Highway for the Remnant is made possible by your faithful prayers and generous support, enabling us to spread present truth messages at home and abroad. To contact us, visit our website at highwayfortheremnant.com, or you may email us at remnanthighway@hughes.net. You may also use the enclosed envelope for a change of address, or to submit the name of someone who would appreciate these very important messages. Our prayer is that when Jesus appears the second time, he will find a people rooted and grounded and proclaiming the three angels' messages. And now we continue with Highway for the Remnant's health segment and story time.